All right, let's pray and we'll jump into this lesson on this evening. Father, how we bless you. We honor you, and we right now just seek your presence and your wisdom. And we bless you in advance for it. We thank you for our Savior, and we thank you for your Spirit. And we just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth on tonight, and that truth that we hear, we put it into action. And then we just bless you for all things. In the name of Yehoshua, we pray. Amen. All right. There are there are so many things that's going on with the, I say so-called, because I believe that the true church of the Most High Yah hasn't fully manifested yet. And the reason why I say that is because there's this form of godliness, but there's no power. And there are some things that that we have experienced as a ministry since its conception on September 11th, 1994. We have always seen the manifestation of the Spirit of Yah in one facet or another. We've learned not to limit him on how he manifests. You can get some people who will experience a manifestation of Yah, and they will turn that into a ministry. You know, that's why you have healing ministries and revivals and different things like that, is because people have an encounter with Yah, and they always look for him to manifest the same way. And one of the scriptures, see if I can find it here, that always come to mind when I think about what I just said, is when the prophet was in 1 Kings chapter 19, and just to kind of lay a foundation for what I'm saying at this point, and I'm going to see where to start here. I'll just start at I started verse 7, 1 Kings 19 verse 7 to the left of the screen. It says, "And the angel of Yah came again a second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat," which is food, 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of Yah. Verse 9 said, "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of Yah came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah?" Well, I'm gonna back up just a little bit, or kind of take a side road just a little bit. I had did a writing on yesterday, and what I said was, I have a you know, that I have dialogues with Yah. And people today, they have a hard time wrapping their minds around it because they don't, they just, you know, we've gotten so far from Yah as far as, you know, mankind is concerned, that there are true encounters. You know, people have true encounters with Yah, whereas you can see throughout the scriptures, in this case being here, you know, as far as Elijah is concerned, where there were encounters with Yah. Men and women also had encounters with Yah. And so you don't see it, or at least hear about it nowadays. And so so to say it is very alarming to people, and people think that, you know, that you're not being serious, or something is a little bit off about you or us when we make statements like that. And so one of the things that, you know, I've said in the writing before, I was like, you know, don't try to base your encounters, don't try to base my encounters, I'll change this way. Don't classify my encounters based upon your own experiences. You know, and so you get a lot of people who, because they don't have communication with Yah, they'll think that nobody else has communication with Yah. So if Yah is not dealing with them in a certain way, then he's not dealing with you in a certain way. Well, how many Moses were there? How many Elijah were there? You know, how many Davids? How many, you know, and so these people were dealt with, you know, the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and things. They were dealt with by Yah. And you know, he wasn't dealing with everybody face to face like he dealt with many of our ancestors, you know. And so people think that because you're able to look at the Bible from, you know, from in a lot of cases historical data, you know, and looking at 1 Kings 19, this is history, then they will conclude that there's no way these things can be happening today. Well, they are. And Yah is dealing with certain people, and he is dealing with certain people to the highest degree. The same as he dealt with these prophets and King David and, you know, our father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you know, whose name was changed to Israel. We are the children of Israel. And so, you know, people have a tendency to, you know, to think because, again, they don't have these encounters, that Yah is not dealing with certain men and women at that level of conversation. Well, again, he is. And so as you look at this in verse 9, Yah is communicating with Elijah, and we'll see this here, because when you look at people and they'll see the scripture talk about the angel of the Lord, a lot of times they'll think it's just the angel. It can be, but also we can understand the angel of the Lord as a title instead of just being an actual angel, you know. And so verse 7 again said, the angel of Yah came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of Yah. In verse 9 said, he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of Yah came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? This is Yah talking now. What doest thou here, Elijah? Conversation, dialogue with a man. And Elijah answers and said, and he said, I have been very jealous for Yah, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. We still have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars. We went into idol worshiping and we took the gold and the silver that Yah blessed us with as a nation, and you still see a lot of that gold and silver that's in the regions by which we came, especially when you look at Canaan. Canaan being the land of Ham before Yah gave it to our nation. And so Ham's descendant is in the region of Africa, and you still see all the wealth and the riches there in Africa now. You have all these other nations, specifically European nations, that are, you know, have basically dissected Africa and are, you know, extracting the riches out of the regions where we come from. And so our nation had actually torn down the altars that was designed to worship the Most High Yah, and had built their own altars to Baal and every other idol that they could find. They worship the golden calf and different things like that, and you can see that in our history. And so this is what Elijah is jealous about. And so verse 10, he said, and he said, I have been very jealous for Yah of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant. The covenant was perfect. It's just that we forsook it. We were the ones who were not perfect. We didn't stick with the agreement. And thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. He said, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand up on the mount before Yah. And behold, Yah passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountain. You know, Yah's presence so awesome that that the spirit rent the mountain. So when you look in verse 11 at the word, when you look at verse 11 at the word wind, it's ruach. Ruach is the spirit. It's the breath of Yah. Okay, so anytime you read the wind in the scriptures, and it's dealing with us from a perspective of the wind, it is the spirit of Yah. So it is the spirit of Yah that rent the mountain. The wind, the breath of Yah that rent the mountain. Okay, now, because as Yah passed by, in a great and strong wind, or the spirit rent the mountains and break in pieces the rock before Yah. But Yah was not in the wind. Yah was not in the spirit. Now, what you have to understand what it means is because he was looking for a word, but that manifestation was not the process by which Yah wanted to do it, although the wind represented the presence of the Most High. So he was not in the wind. Spirit moved, but he was not in it. Okay? And that's a revelation for us to understand. Now you got people doing things, but and they're, you know, laying hands on folks. Folks falling all on the floor, and they're saying it's of the spirit, but y'all ain't in it. Okay? And after the wind, an earthquake. But y'all was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But Yah was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. If you understand the spirit is the breath of Yah. So when you saw the wind, Yah was not in the wind from a perspective of what the scripture said, but the voice is the process by which, and the presence of Yah is the process by which all these things manifested. Okay? because Yah passed by, there was a strong wind. Because Yah passed by, there was an earthquake. Because Yah passed by, it was a fire. Thunder and lightning, you know, fire. But the manifestation of Yah was not in none of those things. It was just a still, small voice. And so what I had said before I started to read 1 Kings 19 is that when people have an experience, they may have an earthquake, using this just for an example. They may have an earthquake experience, but because Yah passed by and an earthquake manifested, then they start having earthquake revivals. I'm just using this as an example to get you to understand the principle. And they experience the wind, and they start having a wind revival. They experience the fire. The fire of God is in the house, and they start having a fire, Holy Ghost fire revival. All these things they do based upon experiences, and it's like they're trying to or make an attempt to treat Yah like genie in a bottle, like they can just conjure him up anytime they feel like it. But he ain't always in all the stuff that you see him pass by. He ain't always in the earthquake. He ain't always in the wind. He's not always in the fire. It could be just a voice, a word. So when I say I have dialogues with Yah, sometimes it's just a voice. It's just a word. It's just an encouragement. It's a whole lot of things. So the communication is always happening, and it's happening on a regular basis. And I don't always look for it the same. I don't always get down on my knees, because he don't encounter me always on my knees. Sometimes he encounter me in the shower. I encounter him in the shower. Sometimes I encounter him riding down the road. Sometimes I encounter him just sitting in my office chair. Wherever he want to show up, he's welcome to show up and give me the encounter. And so, because people approach Yah from a religious perspective, they always look for him to move in a manner by which is common to them, and don't realize we serve the Most High Yah, who can move any way he want to. And we just got to be discerning enough and wise enough to realize when he's moving, and we got to learn how to be still and allow him to lead and guide us in all truth. And so, as you look at verse 12, it's saying, after the earthquake, a fire, but Yah was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he starts to give him instruction from that point on, and I just wanted to show that and to teach you how not to be religious, how not to expect to hear or to have experiences with Yah the same way you did at one time or another. Always position yourself to let him move in your life whichever way he want to. And so, because of these things, people have taken on these traditions and you see a lot of these traditions and these religions happen in what I call, for lack of a better way to put it, and as I mentioned, I don't believe the true church is manifested. At least at its fullest yet. It's manifested. It's just not to the point to where we can identify it fully at this point. The reason why you have this form of godliness that's happening in so-called so-called churches and so-called the people of God is because of all these traditions. And if you notice, the process by which you tell you can tell if a church is operating without the Spirit of Yah is very simple. All churches, and I do mean all, I'm talking about from your mega churches all the way down to your smallest churches where you may have two or three people that may be a part of their church. If it's an assembly and they call themselves a church, then these are the ones that I'm talking about. Every church that that operates without the Spirit of Yah, it has a sign upon it, whereby once I reveal it to you, it'll either confirm because you've experienced it, or from this point on, you'll know. Whenever you find any form of a church, you got different variations of churches, non-denominations, Baptists, you know, Methodists, so on and so forth. When you run into these churches and their primary focus is to get you to be a member of their church, that's not the church that I'm talking about. As far as the true church of the kingdom. Because religious churches or churches that does not operate by the Spirit, their main focus is to try to get people to join their church. They're always looking for membership because membership brings about, you know, a larger congregation. And a larger congregation means that there's more money coming into the church. And if there's more money coming into the church, then that means that you can do bigger things. You can go on television. You can build churches. You can build youth centers. You can do all these different things, you know. It provides all the opportunities to appear that it is the work of Yah. But as we know what the scripture says, in Matthew 7, we've dealt with that. We dealt with it a little bit on last week. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few be that find it. And so your true church is manifested when you have a people that belong to it. Sole purpose is to get people into the kingdom of the Most High Yah. They're not concerned about what church you go to per se. What their concern is, are you a part of the kingdom? Do you understand? Do you understand who the Savior is and how he is the door by which we get back to the Father? Do you understand why we're in the state that we're in? And the kingdom of our God is about the gospel of the kingdom of our God is about getting people into the kingdom of heaven, not a local church. And so you get all these different people that are always going out, and there's nothing wrong with evangelism and things like that, going out, as they said, trying to win souls, and you know, the term that people say from a religious perspective. My primary focus has always been just to get people into the kingdom. When we would do our services in Honey Grove and things like that, it was always designed to just teach the scriptures, and I had the hopes that those who came would take that word and go back to their churches, and we can see the body manifest according to the way that the scripture says it, where Christ is the head and we are the body. That's always been my main focus. And so we'll look at We'll look at Matthew chapter 9, and then we'll also deal with some things in chapter 10 to understand this a little bit better. And you can just think about this. You don't have to answer it. You know, what is the kingdom of heaven? Why do we not hear churches teach the kingdom of heaven? Okay, what is it? What is the kingdom of heaven? Because when one of the disciples and when Christ and the disciples, even John the Baptist, when they told people to repent, they always said, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But nowadays, when you hear preachers try to get folks, you know, preachers and the congregants trying to get folks to repent, they're trying to get them to repent and be a part of a church, be a part of their local church. And it's like a trade war. I never forget, they interviewed this guy, and I was like, boy, he's as confused as you can call me. They interviewed this guy, had him on the news, local news here in Dallas, and he said he was a member of the Potter's House and a member of IBOC, and I think he said a member of Friendship West. I said, how are you gonna be a member of all three of them churches, man? But it was about the way he put it. It was all about having feel like you having a status for being a part of of those churches or mega churches that had big names here in the city. And I'm like, boy, this boy is so, you know, he's so caught up into this religious perspective that he calls himself a member of every mega church in this, you know, in the city, pretty much, you know, at least, you know, some of you well known, there's a lot of mega churches here. But we at United Ministries, our goal is not to get people to join our church. That's not our goal. If a person enjoyed the teachings, then, you know, then we welcome them to be a part of our body. You know, if they enjoy the teachings and things like that. But we're not specifically teaching for the purpose to get somebody to join United Ministries. Our primary goal is always kingdom minded. So the project that we're working on, that's kingdom minded. It's a kingdom mindset. Our properties in Honey Grove, that's kingdom mindset. All those things are the stage is being set for a kingdom thing, not a church thing. And everybody that will come into contact with us, once we're at that stage where y'all want to put us on display, so to speak, for lack of a better way to put it, then it is our mission to let people know our goal is to get you into the kingdom of God. And if we're all a part of the body, then we're all helpers of one another. And we're not looking to try to hinder one another, but we want to do whatever we can to enhance one another. That's why, you know, I'll be a little bit transparent, and she don't mind if she did. I don't care. I'm gonna tell her anyhow. You know, Sonya's she's been a part of the church for a while now, and she's a minister of the preacher of the gospel and things like that. And you know, we had a conversation about certain things as far as, you know, her preaching and things like that. And, you know, she's growing. She's learning some things even as far as the ministry is concerned. And my goal as a pastor is to support the calling that's up on her life. And so I would never want to do anything to hinder that. And I would always encourage the opportunity for her to take the opportunity to go and do what Yah has called her to do as far as the kingdom is concerned. And when she go, like our pastor, preach kingdom. And so because of that, there are churches there are churches and things like that that need what's going on with her, and the reason why Yah has placed her here to understand some things from a kingdom of God perspective, that she can go back and take the message of the kingdom, not a United Ministry message, but a message of the kingdom to any church that she has connection with in one facet or another, in order for them to understand we're about the kingdom of God. And if we are the true church, ain't no issues between us. If we are the true church, she should be able to go anywhere. And when she go, or when I go, or when anyone else go, we're not going trying to pull somebody away from somewhere. We are going to show the kingdom of the Most High Yah. Now, it comes down to that perspective again. If Yah is leading somebody to us because they want to continue to hear the teachings that Yah is leading us to do, then we welcome anybody. We ain't running anybody off. But at the same time, we're not trying to pull nobody away from nothing either. Our mission is to teach the message of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of our God. That is our message. Why? Because that was the message of our Savior and the message of the disciples. We ain't trying to get a bunch of church folks. We ain't trying to grow no church. We ain't trying to have a bunch of church members. We are trying to understand the message of the kingdom and teaching it to the best of our ability. That's our goal. That's what we're about. That's why we are United Ministries. Okay? Now, as we look at Matthew chapter 9, we'll see this. We'll see some things in here. And we'll also look at Matthew 10. And then I'll close again. I'm being short now. We'll look at Matthew 9 verse 35. Then we're going to chapter 10. Matthew 9 chapter 9 verse 35 says, "And Yehoshua went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Now, no church doctrine. I'm gonna have to say this. I love my pastor. I love my covenant brothers. But I'm not teaching their doctrine. I don't go and sit and listen to him and teach word of faith. I don't teach prosperity. You know, that's what my pastor does. That's his thing. It's between him and Yah. But I don't. I teach the gospel of the kingdom. So I don't go look for scriptures and find ways to twist it into money. Okay? I don't go into the old, you know, I don't say the Old Testament has been done away with, but go over there and cherry pick a scripture out when I want to use it to teach something because it benefits my church or the way I think. I preach the kingdom of our God. The same way my Savior did in verse 35, he went into all the cities. Now, the cities and the villages and the synagogues that he went into was our nation. When you look at the scriptures, you'll see and truly understand who Christ came to reach. Christ came to reach us as a nation. And our responsibility as a nation was to take that gospel into the world. Christ didn't come to the Gentiles. Christ came to Israel. And he sent his disciples to Israel. And the disciples were supposed to take that gospel and preach it all over the world. And that's the reason why it's off course now. You got people trying to get people to join their churches because you have a European teaching of what was supposed to be. You have a Gentile teaching that was supposed to be a kingdom teaching. So what we've been hearing for generations is a Gentile teachings of the scriptures. That's why they'll tell you the church is spiritual Israel. That's not the gospel of the kingdom. There's no such thing as a spiritual Israel. That's why they go to Luke 6 and 38 and say, give and it shall be given unto you, and talking about money. Instead of reading everything within its contextual meaning. That's why they go to Mark 4 where it says, sow the seed. And they say the seed is money, when the scriptures clearly said the seed is the word. And it gives the type of ground that the seed of the word produces. So it's letting us know the type of ground that that is sown in and what it produces from that in Mark chapter 4. But yet, because of this Gentile teaching, everybody thinks the seed is money. So everybody's sowing their seed. We know in the scriptures that it has a perspective, because our Savior sit over against the treasurer watching to see what people gave. But the one he acknowledged the most was the one who gave the least, because she gave the best that she had. But people don't look at that. So I taught a message that's basically said people, very few people give according to their yardstick. Nobody impressed because you give $1 million if you got a billion. That's just like me giving 10. It's not impressive. But the woman who gave the widow's mite, she gave the best that she had. And that's what Christ acknowledged. So when it comes down to giving, you just do your best. I like what our father David said. He said, I will not offer anything to the Most High that doesn't cost me nothing. Value what you do. Whatever you bring to Yah, value it. That's one of the reasons why I bring to Yah the most valuable thing I have, myself. Like, Yah, there's nothing that I value, that I own myself, of more value than myself. I got loved ones and things like that I'll put before me as value. But I'm talking about what I have in my own possession. There's nothing each one of us have in our own personal possession that's more valuable than ourselves. Give y'all that. So as he's sitting in these as Christ in verse 35 is in these cities, these villages, he's dealing with our nation. He's not dealing with Gentiles. Christ very seldom dealt with Gentiles. That's why when he said to the woman who was asking for help, he said, I don't get at which is holy under dogs. Call Gentiles dogs then. She said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table. He said, oh woman, faith is what got it. That's why the Gentiles are saved by faith through grace in him. And so he's going through and he's reaching and he's preaching to our nation. But he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's not saying, come over here and join Jesus' church. One thing I love about my Savior is he was not religious. That's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees, verse 34, that's why they always had a problem with him. Because they were religious and he wasn't. So he goes into the synagogues and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And signs and wonders following. Why you think you don't see no signs and wonders happening in the churches? Because they're not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They're preaching sermons and messages and ideals and slick words and stuff like that. and it sound good, and it's humming, and hand and hooting, and all these things, and they preaching all this stuff, and it making people feel good, but ain't nothing manifesting after the message, because it ain't the message of the kingdom. Since the conception of this ministry, we've always seen signs and wonders in one fashion or another, whether that was through a word from Yah, or revelation of the scriptures, whether that was manifestation of healing, sickness, deliverance in one fashion or another. Yah has always shown signs and wonders that follow the word, because we preach kingdom. Preach the kingdom and signs will show up. Preach the kingdom and people will be healed. Preach the kingdom and sickness will be, people will be delivered from sickness and disease among the people. Preach the kingdom and watch y'all manifest signs and wonders. This is how you know how churches are not preaching the kingdom of the Most High Yah. There are no signs that follow. There's always word from Yah coming across this podium, so to speak. Yah has always done signs and wonders in one fashion or another. He's gonna always continue to do it. Why? Because we preach the message of the kingdom of the Most High Yah. When you do that, he's gonna always show up with something. It's not that we preach it in order for him to show up. That's just what he says. You preach the kingdom, I manifest. Verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. But one of the hardest things for me nowadays is driving past my people. Sometimes I'll be talking out loud. I just be looking at them saying, hold on. The kingdom of our God is at hand. Just hold on. Don't give up. Because you want to try to reach and do something for every last one of them that you run across. But it's just too overwhelming to be able to meet the needs of everybody that you run across. But if you're thinking kingdom-wise, you got compassion on every Israelite you run across. I often say, I'll be like, man, I love my people. I adore my people. And I see their struggles. I see them strung out on drugs. And I see them in these situations. And when I see them in these situations, I think about what our ancestors did. How our ancestors dropped the ball and got us in this situation. And how we're continuing in this situation because we don't have the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom. We too busy sitting around hearing some preacher talk about how to go get your money and how to get your wife and your husband and five steps on how to be blessed and four steps on how to get your house and your car and three steps on how to be better than everybody else and how to be the real you and how to get loosed and how to get tied up and all this kind of stuff. Preach the kingdom of our Yah. And watch Yah show up. So I see my people fainting and I got compassion for them. And if you're serious about the kingdom of Yah, you have compassion for your people too. It said, because they fainted and were scattered abroad. See, our nation was scattered abroad even during Christ's day. Not in our homeland, just scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Every time I see my people walking around, whether they're strung out on drugs, whether they're homeless, or whether they're just going through hard times for whatever reason or another, I say they're just like sheep having no shepherd. Y'all give us the wisdom and the understanding of how to come back to you. Because that's the only way we're going to get delivered as a people. Then he said, verse 37, then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous. It's a lot of work to do. Just not enough workers. Everybody got stuff to do. Everybody got their own thing to do. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Even Christ said, pray to Yah of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. This is Yah's field. There's a lot of lost Israelites out there, and Yah said the laborers are few though. We too busy trying to get our big houses and our big cars, and we trying to make more money, and we trying to do all this here, and we got all these other things going on, and our people just fainting around us. And we got the message of the kingdom, and we want to open our mouth and share it and let them know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of our God is at hand. When we start truly preaching the kingdom of the gospel, every sickness and every disease among the people will be taken care of. Verse 38 again, he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. You go to the next chapter. It says, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. Don't worry about no devils. I got power. I got the exousia of the Most High God. I cast out devils. When the last time you seen a devil get cast out of in a church? And heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. We got that power. And we teaching the kingdom. So now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius. Whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. Even Judas was a bad boy. That tell me you can be stupid if you preach the kingdom of Yah. Yah show up. Verse 5, these 12 Yehoshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Our nation, all these were Israelite men. Christ was an Israelite. He specifically gave them instruction. Don't go to no Gentiles. Verse 5. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Don't give no Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Because the Samaritans were placed in the land in 2 Kings 17. They were placed in the land. They were attacked by lions because they didn't know our customs. So one of our priests taught them our customs. So these people thought that they were Jews. For all them generations of living in our land in Samaria. So your Samaritans were Gentiles. And so Christ said, don't go there. Don't go to the Gentiles. See, the church don't teach this kind of stuff. These Gentile preachers won't tell you that Christ didn't come to them. The Gentile preachers won't tell you that Christ sent Israelites to them. Who was Paul? An Israelite? Who did he go to? The Gentiles. Peter preached the first. Peter was one of the first one to preach to the Gentile. Acts chapter 10, I believe. Just make sure. Pull up another Bible. Yes, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band of the Italian band. He was a Gentile. You remember you read the, I'm just tell the story. So the reading Acts 10, the sheet come down. Y'all tell it has all these unclean things on it. Y'all tells Peter rise up and eat. Peter said, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Y'all said, don't call anything common or unclean that I've called clean. Now Gentiles start preaching saying that Christ was talking about and say that y'all was talking about now you can eat anything. You know, anything, unclean, unclean. No, that's not what he's saying. He's teaching Peter to go to the Gentile. Because our nation wouldn't deal with him. According to Matthew 10. And Peter read it. As you read, continue to read Acts chapter 10, the scripture said he didn't understand the vision until he met Cornelius. He said, now I perceive that Yah is no respecter of persons. Y'all has no respect of person when it comes down to the kingdom of heaven. It's made available to all men. Romans 1 proves that. Paul says it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of Yah to salvation to all who believe. He even mentions the Jew first, then the Greek, because it came to us first. Matthew 10. So he tells the disciples, he said, don't go to the way of the Gentiles into the city of the Samaritans. I'm going to exit out of this one. Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. All the 12 apostles and Christ himself went to Israel. That's why I mentioned it. I'm going to bring it up and show it to you now. That's why Paul says this. Paul understands it. And when Gentiles start preaching the gospel of the kingdom, they're going to start preaching it the same way. They're going to know that they are have been made available. The kingdom has been made available to them, but it was made available to us as a nation first. That's why Paul wrote it that way and he said it that way. Romans 1 verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of Yah unto salvation to everyone that believe it. To the Jew first, right here. Go rather to the lost sheep. To the Jew first. Don't go to the Gentiles, because it's the Jew first. And also the Greek. The Greek, when you look at the word Greek, the Greek means Gentile. See it at the bottom? Greek-speaking person, especially non-Jew, Gentile. The gospel was brought to you first, Israel. The same way the covenant was made to us as a people, the gospel was brought to us first. Even when you look at the manifestation of the Spirit of Yah, it was brought to Israel first. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, to the right of the screen, Acts 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, the Spirit. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Other tongue is not a heavenly language. It is a language. You continue to read, it reveals it here. So when the Holy Ghost fell down up on mankind, it fell on Israel. The covenant was made to Israel. The Christ came to Israel. The gospel was preached first to Israel. And the Spirit fell first on the Jews, our nation. That's what Paul says, to the Jew first. first in rank. There's rank in the kingdom. The kingdom is made available to all men, but once you in it, there is rank. My body is one body. It is me. But there is rank in my body. My heart is more important than my finger. My heart outranks my finger. I need my finger though, but my heart outranks it. My eyes outrank my finger. So you have to understand the body, how the body is jointly and fitted together. Okay? And as you see here, they were filled with the Holy Ghost as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. We came from all over because we were honoring our feast. So we came back to Jerusalem as a nation. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard him speak in his own language, tongue of the tongue, own language. It is not shabba shabba tama bo ta 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 ta. That's not tongues. Tongues is another language. When Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, he was talking about I speak in multiple languages more than you all. Time to preach Bible and quit preaching traditional messages that's not a part of the kingdom. Now, you may not know what you're saying when you are speaking in tongues. It may be unknown to you, but I guarantee you, if you're speaking in the Bible tongues, you are speaking a language that is here on earth. You just don't know what it is. It's not heavenly. It's just somewhere else you don't know nothing about. It could be Swahili or Umbufu. You don't know. Many languages. I don't know about if Umbufu is a language, but I'm just using that as an example. So a lot of people will think that they're speaking in heavenly language. In reality, they're just speaking another tongue, another language. So when you speak at, when you see verse 6, it says own language, tongue, discourse, tongue. They begin to speak. And begin to speak with other tongues. Language. They spoke another language. And you see it being fulfilled in this. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? These the same people. And how we hear every man in our own tongue, language, wherein we were born. Then it gives the places where they were born. They were speaking Parthians, Medes, Elamite, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judeans, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. These were the languages they were speaking. And you had Jews here, our Jews, and proselytes. Proselytes are non-Jews. They are people who took on our customs. So are following our laws, statutes, and judgments. That's what proselytes are. So when you look at proselytes here, is it proselytes, convert, those people who are in our land, they're proselytes, they're converts. All those Jewish people are proselytes. They're not true Jews. They converted into our customs, laws, statutes, and judgment that was given to us. That's what they're practicing. Okay. This is why. It's why the scripture says in Luke 24, it reveals the prophecy that these proselytes would be in our land. Where's Luke? I always get them mixed up. Is it 21 and 24 or 24 and 21? Yeah, 21 and 24. When the prophecy is given to our nation, Christ is telling our nation that we were going to be ran out of our homeland. It happened in 70 AD, verse 23. And these other verses, 22 and things like that. 20 is where it starts. When you see Jerusalem compassed by with armies, this is when Rome destroyed our homeland. The Roman army said they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive in all nations. That's you. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, proselytes, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Their time is almost up. So Christ, as I get out of this, verse 6, he sends the 12 apostles to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and then he tells them as he ascends, go into the world and preach the gospel. And that's when you start seeing Acts 10, Peter preaches to Cornelius. Paul comes on the scene and specifically sent to the Gentiles. We as Israel were supposed to teach the kingdom of heaven to all Gentiles. But instead, they took our scriptures and started to teach us their religion. Now everybody joining churches and talking about prosperity and four ways to live a better, to be a better you and all this kind of stuff. Gentile doctrine. That's why there are no signs and wonders following. But I guarantee you, if you teach the kingdom of our God, watch y'all show up with a sign and a wonder and bag up what you just said. Alright? That's all I got. I'm done. Any questions, comments at this point? Good? Alright, I'm going to stop here. Father Yah, we just bless you for your word on today, and we thank you that you have given us the wisdom to know the difference between Gentile doctrine and the kingdom of heaven. And we just bless you for giving us the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding to discern between the two and to operate according to the kingdom by which you decreed that there are few laborers, but the harvest is plenteous. Lord, we praying that you develop more laborers, that we may go into your harvest and bring people into the kingdom of the Most High Yah. And we bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.